The wait is finally over. Football's back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action on Bet Online.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to make some big bets. Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP again. Or do you think maybe Russell Wilson?
Woo-hoo. Russell Wilson, maybe Josh Allen? I mean, he's kind of balling out right now.
P. Mahomes.
Okay. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes, Benny.
Well, you know what I'm going to do then. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today.
BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're listening to PSI, the podcast, with Benny Philhaber,
Tao Zizo,
and Arco Para.
Enjoy!
You don't remember who your coach was in Montreal in 2015? Is that what you're telling me, Kenny?
Yeah.
I'm going to look at it.
Those weak trials, you're both on team, so I want to know why you didn't go through me to the coaches and why I'm now down here in Prosper, Texas, not playing pro ball anymore.
And now a continuation with Kenny Cooper, part two.
All right, so moving on. So you go from after having a great time at Dallas, right? You scored 40 goals in 90 games, multiple playoff runs. Can you talk about your stint with 1860 and why you regretted it? And go on from there.
Yeah, well, I don't regret it, but I think at the time part of the making was I think me just really wanting to make the national team squad for the World Cup, and I think just feeling like I think at that time I felt like it would be a good move and help me make a push for that.
Was Jurgen the coach at that time?
No, Bob was. And
okay.
So, but I want to say I was part of it. No, I was part of the Gold Cup, I think, before. So I was already, I think, not like in this scene, but like, I had gotten some experience.
In the player pool.
Well, I was, we were on that squad together, right?
I remember my first ever camp with appearance with the national team. You were there. It was the game. Then we play.
Was it in
Ecuador,
Dallas?
And then Guatemala.
Was it in Dallas, one of those games, or no?
Wait, yours was my first game was Denmark back in like 2005.
Yeah, that was before me, but I think you were there against Guatemala in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yeah, yes.
And
tied
I actually
0-0, I believe.
I was there as well with the U-20s, because I remember seeing you, Benny, with the full team, and I was with the U-20s. We had just played I think we played the Haitian full team. And I think we tied 2-2, or Josie scored, we tied 1-1, something like that. I can't remember. But I remember seeing you at that camp actually, Benny.
Yeah.
And Bruce was still the coach then, wasn't he?
No, not in 2007.
Wasn't your first game with Bruce?
No, yeah, I got called in by Bruce, but I didn't actually play a game until I got called in by Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, so I, made the move, and I think it was like mid-season, I think, with FC Dallas. So, in a way, I was comfortable in Dallas. Just in the sense of like, just in my hometown, I loved the club. So I made this move, I think, hoping again, I would, make a push at that national team squad for the World Cup. And so I went over there, and it started when I first got there, I think I remember like looking in the mirror, like, what am I doing? Like, am I making the right decision? But it started off great, and it was experience. I mean, Munich is an unbelievable city. I mean, you two know that. And Molly and I lived in the city, just off the field, loved it, loved the whole experience. And 1860 played at Allianz Arena, so it had an incredible training ground. It was awesome. They were in second Bundesliga. I think you go over there thinking, oh, like, I'm gonna help them get back to the first Bundesliga and I'll make the World Cup squad. Like, you have all that ambition and motivation, right? So I started great, and I ended up I ended up, I must have gotten injured or I don't know if I had a system, something with my knee where I, you know, I wasn't playing. And so about like 6 months into it, you know, I'm like getting healthy, like looking to get back playing. And I think Ewald Lien was the coach. And, you know, at that time, I think he expressed something like, oh, you know, it's going to take you some time to get back in, to work back in. And I just, at that moment, was like feeling like I don't have time. Like I need to be playing. I need games, you know. And so I ended up having this opportunity to go out alone. So my, you know, time in Germany at that first was like really short-lived. It was only like 6 months. And so Paul Mariner, John Carver, who had been in MLS, they were at Plymouth Argyle. Not sure how this all came about, but I ended up having an opportunity to go there on loan. And so I was.
What league were they in?
They were in the championship.
Okay.
And so, you know, made that move and man, I'm not sure I started one game and just like struggled to see the field and just went bad. All my loan experiences, I had three different ones, were just terrible.
I mean, loans are tough, dude. Loans are tough. You don't have as much time to break in and all that stuff.
They are. And I think I, you know, always underestimate just like, which is crazy because I, you know, such like homebody in a way, but I think I might've underestimated just like how much time it might take to like, just get settled, like find a place, you know, all the little details, like find a place to live, find a community, just feeling comfortable, which all I think helps with obviously when you're out onto the field. And so I just never quite kind of got into that rhythm in Germany or in England. And so that first year that I left, it just went terrible. You know, I was again, you know, hoping to go there and just, you know, make a big splash and just went the complete opposite. You know, needless to say, didn't make the World Cup squad and ended up going back to 1860 the following year. And I broke my leg first day of preseason. So I basically like missed the whole season and then had an opportunity to come back to Major League Soccer with Portland and be part of their inaugural season, which was amazing and just like really great to get back into the league. I'll tell you, like, this is maybe my lowest point, one of my favorite stories. When I was at Plymouth, I was so desperate to play. I remember like texting Paul Mariner, like, man, I'll play out wide, like, just like put me anywhere. Like, I'm just desperate to be out on the field. And we got relegated, by the way. wasn't playing, team wasn't doing well. It's just, oh, man. It's tough. And I'll never forget, we went on this like two game road trip and we were like staying at some resort and, you know, we had these two away games and we had this guy on our team called Kari Arneson who played.
I play with Kari.
So, you know, Kari has like the longest throw in the entire world.
I can't even remember. I remember he played at Aarhus when I came to the team, but he left shortly after I got there. But I was there with him for a couple of months.
Yeah, awesome guy. And
Kari he's still playing, by the way.
I'm not surprised.
I think it's crazy. He plays for the national team, I think so. Iceland.
Amazing. Yeah, he was at the World Cup. So Kari had the longest stone you've ever seen. Okay. And like in our squad, it was like maybe our most dangerous weapon. You know, I feel like those games at times were maybe like kickoff, throw in, goal kick, corner kick, throw in, like just a lot of dead ball situations. And Kari, like we could get a throw in our half and Kari, it was like a corner kick. He could just like chuck the ball into the box and it was like goal scoring opportunity, just like wherever you had it. So, oh God. So we're on this road trip and Kari got injured and we're training, playing 5v2. And John Carver starts going around the training field like, has anyone got a long throw? And my buddy, Rory Fallon, is one of my best friends to this day. He's like nudging me. He's like, mate, now's your chance. So I was, you know, mind you, I've like never taken a throw in my life. And I'm like so desperate to, you know, get on the field. I'm like, John, you know, yeah. I might have a long throw. So we're doing 5v2. John Carver like calls me over for like a throw and tryout. So guys are playing 5v2. I go over, you know, to the sideline and, you know, have a ball. And I'm like, you know, what am I doing? Again, never taken a throw, like maybe twice in my entire life. So I get the ball and I'm thinking, man, this is going to get me into the team. Like, here we go. You know, just like dry my hands, you know, get this ball. And I like, you know, take a run and just with all my might and just like, you know, hoping this ball goes, you know, halfway as far as Kyrie's throws go. And I, you know, throw the ball, I release it and just like pops up into the air and just kind of like bobbles like right in front of me, just like epitomized what I was going through at that point in my career. And my buddy Roy was like, hey, yeah, I remember so well. He's like, damn, Coops, I was only joking, bro. I just went right back to 5-2 and right to the bench. It was just like soul destroying. Maybe the lowest point of my career is unbelievable, but that's how desperate I was to play. I was willing to go do a throw and try.
You should have told him that you could get in the box and take the, and you know, bring the long throw down or head it in or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I should have, but heading was never really my forte. Unfortunately, I was better off taking a poor throw and then being on the end of it.
So Kenny, you come back to the MLS, all right, with Portland. I was with you. You know, it wasn't the best year as a team. We didn't make playoffs and we struggled a little bit. They decided to trade you to New York. You had a resurgence there, scored 18 goals. But kind of my question is, then you go to Dallas again, Seattle, Montreal. You know, why was it year after year were you moving to different teams? I mean, you had good years. You had some goal scoring years in those 5 years or whatever. So, you know, what do you think it was?
Cool. Man, I think I still scratch my head, I think, wondering. And I think I've come to peace with just at this point in my life, just like I'm at peace with just realizing that, you know, I won't have the answers to questions like that. You know, I wish I did. Like, man, I wish I could pick up the phone and call this coach, that coach, and be like, what happened? Like, you know, why was I traded? Why didn't I play that game? You know, shoot. And by the grace of God, I had some unbelievable experiences in my career and have been at some amazing clubs and playing the national team. But, you know, I've also been on the other side of it. Very serious injuries, reserve games, left out of the squad, relegation. I've had all these, you know, different experiences. And
I think I know. I mean, for you saying that kind of reminds me of myself. And I feel like it molds you into a better spot post-career, right? So like these are things that you have to deal with when you're done playing, right? No, you're not going to be wanted as much anymore. Yeah. You know, you're not going to, you know, have everybody kind of jumping at the chance to get you, and you're not going to have success always. And so I don't know if you were kind of headed towards that, but that's kind of how I feel about it.
I feel like as a striker, I feel like the life of a striker is this like microcosm of life. Man, sometimes the goals are going off your ear, head, shoulders, and sometimes, man, it's like you couldn't pay the goalie to let the ball go in. And that's the funny thing was, going from Portland, New York is, you know, by the way, I loved my time in Portland. Absolutely loved it. I'll never forget Molly and I watching a video of Timber's Army before we got there in Germany. And just like, I remember she was like crying. I don't think we could believe the atmosphere that was there.
It wasn't. That first year was electric, like crazy. I mean, still is obviously, but like, that first season was magical for sure.
It was magic and I loved it, but it wasn't my most prolific season. I think I went like 17 games without scoring or something, and you know, I was brought in, you know, to score goals and so you know, had a difficult season. As you said, we didn't make playoffs. I wasn't scoring goals, and then ended up going to New York. And then just like was scoring like crazy that year, had 18 goals. My second season had 18 goals. And I think just felt good. Like I was like kind of back in form, but I remember like thinking specifically like, man, I'm not really doing anything different. Like there's training habits. I think I felt like I was training the same.
I mean, you were on a better team. I mean, bottom line was you were on a better team, you know? Yeah.
You know, the reality is, as well, I think is, you know, I think sometimes you can maybe just fit in better. You know, with different teams, but man, look, I was playing up top with Thierry, which was an unbelievable experience. And so I went from this season of struggling to score to like, man, I was scoring like all the time, with New York. But you know, like, as you're alluding to, like, I think what it did for me is like, when you go through those moments, so like 17 games without scoring and you come out of it, you kind of draw the strength. You're like, man, like next time you go like four games without scoring, it's like nothing. You know what I mean? You're like, I've been there, man.
16 like, games without scoring, five games, 10. Forget it.
Yeah, you know, it does strengthen you. It strengthens you, and I think, you know, it helps give you hope. I was able to, you know, I remember I got a really nice email from Merritt Polson, you know, after I left the club, and he was like, man, I hope you go score 15 goals, and I went and scored like 18. I always appreciated that note he sent me, but I love the time in New York, man. It's like my favorite city in the world. What was great for us is, you know, I had all this time in Dallas, you know, being able to share my career so close to my family who was still in the area, and my wife's family, Molly, her family was all in Baltimore, the New Jersey area. So we had this experience there being able to share it all with them. Her mom would leave work at 5 and from Baltimore drive up to the game. So I think that might've been my key ingredient, is just having family close by me, my support system really close.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
It's huge.
So then, you know, they bring you back to Dallas. You're back home again. And how did that time go? I mean, then you get traded to Seattle. Like, you know, we talked about Portland, Seattle a little bit, but you know, what was it successful, your time in Dallas? And, you know, I see you scored 6 goals in 31 games. And then, you know, in Seattle started, you know, trickling towards the end of your career. Did you feel like it all ended pretty early? Like, did you still, I mean, most players always do, right? They always feel like they had a little bit left in the tank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I was trying to make a comeback for the longest time after my time in Montreal. But I came back to Dallas. Excuse me, was playing for Shellis again. The irony of this is that Shellis was the coach at SMU when I, you know, ended up not going there. And when I left Dallas that first time, he was the coach there. So, you know, we kind of came full circle, got to play for him professionally. And then I came back to the club, you know, for that second stint. And just, you know,
from a goal scorer perspective. He was still the coach in that second stint, or was it someone else?
Yeah, that was this is last year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 2013 was his last year with the club. So yeah, I mean, it just didn't go well for me. I wish I could put my finger on it. but you know, just wasn't scoring goals. I'm not sure I was starting all the time. I was, I think, playing different positions, and which isn't a bad thing because I was comfortable in different roles. But I just never like found my groove scoring. You know, one of the best things, I just talked about this the other day, I think, is as a striker, if you can like get off to a good start in the season, I feel like it's just like the best thing, you know. And I don't even know if it's that it builds more confidence in you, but I think it can kind of build confidence in others around you, you know, the coaches. And I think that's maybe like the only time in my career I think I felt like, all right, I'm probably gonna be starting next game, is like when I was scoring goals. You know what I mean? And like when I wasn't, I think I was like, man, like, you know, what's gonna happen here? And I took a lot of pride in trying to do other things besides just putting the ball in the back of the net. You know, I always aspired to be a well-rounded player, but you know, the reality is, as a striker, is I think, you know, a lot of times you're judged on for scoring goals. And so I had this great season with New York. Ended up back in Dallas. Didn't go well. And then I went to Seattle hoping, I think, to just find that form, you know, that I had in New York. But, you know, didn't play as, you know, as much as I would have liked to. Played with an amazing team and, you know, was in a squad with, you know, Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey, who were just like one mind, you know, like they're like one player. It was unbelievable. So, you know, when those guys were healthy, obviously they were playing, and you know, so I found myself in another year where I was just struggling to get back on the field, and I again found myself out wide and just wasn't getting the playing time. But the team was doing great. We won Open Cup, and that's where I was getting my opportunities, and I was scoring goals in Open Cup. And we won Supporter Shield, so it was a really successful season for the team. And we loved Seattle, we loved the Pacific Northwest, so loved being back there
more than Portland.
Dude, there's not a place that Kenny didn't love, bro. He loved everywhere. He lives in Frisco now, pretty much, and he loves it there. So
I'm in Prosper now, actually.
Prosper. We don't even know where that is. It's some...
Yeah, I don't either, man. It feels like the end of the world. It's funny. you know, was hoping to, you know, just find that for, you know, that New York form in Seattle. Just didn't happen for me. And then I myself in Montreal the following year, and got injured early on, and then that was the end of it for me. It was strange. It kind of felt like I fell off the face of the soccer planet. Really strange. And strange too, just like how I ended up in Montreal.
How old were you when you retired?
My last season was 2015. I want to say I was 30. Was I 30? I think I was 30.
30. Yeah, I think you're my age, right? Are you an 84?
I'm 84. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just a little older than me. So we're the same age though.
35. Yeah. So I felt like, I had this injury in Montreal early in the season. I basically missed the whole season. It was a contract year for me. And, when I was coming back, they obviously didn't extend my contract. It must have been option year. So obviously they didn't extend my contract. I found myself, I think, in that first year of free agency. And, tried to catch on in preseason with some teams, but like not really sure I was like where I needed to be like post-injury in regards to sharpness. Sal, I think you were in New York at the time.
Yeah, you were coming to train with us. Yeah,
I trained with you guys in Florida for like a week. And then, I think at the end of the week, I think
back Jesse at New York as well.
Well, yeah. So that was
that was more the official trial. And then you came to kind of train with us still.
I was training with y'all post, but after that first week, I think Jesse said something like, I don't think you look 100%. And at that point, I think I felt like I'd come a long way and felt like I could still come a long way, but I'm just not sure I was like there yet, like comfortable and like just with my knee. And then I ended up, Benny, with you out in Kansas City for like a week, and that didn't turn into anything. And then after that, I was, we ended up just kind of parking in New Jersey where we had family. And Jesse was, great and let me come train. So, we had a place to stay. We had a place to train. I was just trying to make that comeback. And
Knowing how much you love soccer, did you ever consider playing like in the lower divisions, or was it just kind of MLS or you were pretty much done?
I was super determined to get back in MLS. I scored 75 goals. I had 100 in my mind. I think felt like I had enough time to get there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to get back in the league.
Of course.
Felt like I'd been in the league, was a proven goal scorer, reliable. And, that's what I wanted. But beyond that training stint with KC, I didn't have any opportunities. I don't know if timing was helping me because, I think like once the season starts,
to help you out, Kenny, once you turn 30, man, there's no teams calling unless you've been playing consistently. I kind of had a similar situation coming off injury after my season with Atlanta. And it's tough. Once you're not known to, once you're not going to surprise anyone, per se as a young player, then it's tough for a team to sign you. So.
Yeah. Well, it was tough for me. And, I ended up training with you guys for like 2 months.
Yeah. And you were there quite a while.
You guys were, everyone was so good to me. If anyone had come to train, I'm not sure you would have thought I wasn't part of the squad. The way that I was integrated in with the group was
good. It was a good vibe down there, right? And we were winning. I think we were really successful at that time early on.
Yeah, just awesome group of guys. Dax was one of my best friends in the squad there, and I was hoping to catch on somewhere or just obviously there. Time spent turned into an opportunity, of course. But it never did, and not long after, I found myself in New York City playing amateur ball, Pier 40 and Cherry Street. So, didn't get back in after that. Just like reflect on my time, which is so much, gratitude to God and just, grateful for the journey, the path that I went on, which was a very transient one. But just made a ton of friends, met a lot of people along the way. Which obviously as you get older, you really appreciate. I just look back again, just so much gratitude to God for, the journey that I had.
Yeah. Well, I think you had a pretty good career, so you could be, happy with that. And now you've been, you talked to us a little bit before we got on the things that you've been doing since that, tell everyone, the kind of coaching that you've been, the director of coaching and what your plans are, for the future.
Yeah, I moved back to Dallas about a year ago and you know, I've done just a ton of coaching since I've been back. I was the director of a training program, you know, essentially doing like supplemental training, which, you know, I've really enjoyed. And so at this point, I'm looking to start my own program. But you know, what I love is, you know, is being in the game still. It's where all my professional experience lies. And it's just an incredible platform to share from those experiences. And, you know, more than anything, to just be a source of encouragement and positivity to young players. And that's what I find so purposeful. That's what I benefited from so much from my support system. You know, I joke that like my parents brainwashed me to believe that my dreams could come true. And, you know, I remember getting to United and I was like, I can do this. Like, I just felt so confident and capable. They just like, you know, just made me just, I had just had so much support behind me. It was incredible. And I leaned into that all the time through all those difficult moments. You know, I always like leaned into that support from my wife, parents, family, friends, and ultimately my faith. I mean, it's the foundation of my life. And so, you know, I always found a lot of hope and encouragement in my faith. And so what I've loved is with coaching is just feeling like you can just be a source of that, again, just that positivity, that encouragement to kids. And I think it's just really needed. You know, I think now the game, I think, can just be really intense at a young level. And so the training that, you know, I enjoy doing is like that type of training that you would do after, you know, at the end of your team practice when you're playing professionally. You know, just lots of repetition, you know, lots of, you know, high volume touches, that kind of thing. But just that supportive role I really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing assistant coaching at UCLA, and it's fun, man. It's crazy just to see, you know, we were there 15 years ago. Me and Sal both played at UCLA. I was there 15 years ago. You were there 13 years ago. And, you know, a lot of players come through the ranks, and it's just awesome to be able to, you know, be a part of their not only their lives, but their, you know, path to wherever they want to get to, whether it be becoming a pro or, you know, becoming a better person or wherever it leads to. But it's pretty exciting to be, you know, in that. And I, you know, commend you for that. And I can kind of relate to it as I'm going through it a little bit right now.
Yeah. No, I commend you for it. And you know, who better to have there than someone like yourself? You know, you went down the path I'm sure they all want to go on. Right.
Yep.
And that's the benefit I had, like with my father who played professionally, coached professionally. You know, there wasn't like a thing that I would go through in my career that he hadn't seen and could just kind of help me kick on from, you know, missed penalty kicks. You know, I remember you telling me Alan Shearer missed penalty kick. You know, it was just always like, yeah, no, you're right. I can go do this. And so I think that, I mean, I always think of like the human spirit as this balloon that can be like pumped up or deflated. And I think coaches have this like amazing, like power to, you know, just help uplift a player, you know, not just teach, but like, you know, help uplift them, or can do the opposite, can deflate someone's spirit. You know, I'm sure you guys play for tons of coaches like me, and I've seen it all. Jeez. But it's, you know, as a coach, I think you just have an awesome platform to share and to just be a source of, just encouragement, you know, players' lives.
Definitely.
So we recently had Matt Beasley on the show, and we talked about he and longtime teammate Setsunovic's new venture with State Soccer. They have teamed up with a talented group to build a brand that represents soccer in America the way it deserves.
Yeah, and Matt sent us some gear last week, and honestly, we were blown away by the quality. These guys are truly building something special for the sport and its culture. So naturally, since BSI and States align so well, we are excited to announce they are now our official sponsor.
So this episode is brought to you by States, an athletic lifestyle brand building a revolution of American sport. Their goal is to be a leading lifestyle brand for soccer in America. They're building a brand that truly represents the beautiful game.
Yeah, and now they are offering 15% off with the discount code BSI to our listeners as part of the sponsorship.
Go check out their website at states.soccer. There's no .com. It's simply states.soccer. And their Instagram is definitely worth a follow, @statessoccer. Go check them out.
All right.
All right, should we get into some plead the fifth?
I feel bad for this man. We're going to make him look not so nice right now.
Well, try to, I guess, but yeah.
We'll try our best. All right, let's do this. Sal, you start off. I know you know how it goes, but here we go. You're entering Ike's interrogation room. You have opportunity to plead the fifth one out of the next five questions. If you choose to not plead the fifth for any of them, then you can ask me or Sal any question that we must answer truthfully. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go, Sal.
So, Kenny, in today's MLS, and I'm sure you still watch and probably keep up with it, what team do you feel like would you be most successful on? And also, what team do you feel like you'd be least successful on?
Oh man. Most successful? Shoot.
Don't plead the fifth here, dude. You got some much worse ones coming up.
This is T-ball.
I'll say FC Dallas just because I've had the opportunity to spend some time around them. So I feel like, I know that team better than any others.
So the best team chemistry will then lead to maybe most goals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'll say FC Dallas. So been one of the great things about being here in Dallas is, I've had a great opportunity to reconnect with that club. Least successful. Good question.
Basically, which team would you hate to play for?
Which team would I hate to play for? I would never want to play for Houston.
That's funny.
That's an easy one.
It's been said many times, yeah.
Fair enough. No, but that's for him, it's different, right? He's got the Dallas connection. So
that's
the rivalry. All right, here we go. Next question. An easy one. Another T-ball for you. Make you look good. Your top three teammates of all time. It can be on the field. It can be off the field. It could be relationships that you've built, whatever. Top three teammates.
Top three teammates. Stephen Keel, Drew Moore, Dax McCarty.
Yeah, I knew Dax was going to be in there.
Yeah.
Stephen Keel, Drew Moore. Those are good picks, man.
Yeah, Stephen was – it's funny with Stephen. He was my roommate in New York, and then we were both in Dallas, and we were roommates in Dallas the following year, which was awesome. Drew Moore and I played high school ball together. We're roommates my whole time in Dallas, the first stint. And Dax is, I think, like the single player I played most with over my career, just the whole time in Dallas and then in New York.
And I feel like you can't hate any of those guys.
No, they're awesome, man.
I'll tell you what. I didn't love playing against Dax because this dude always got the best of me.
Yeah.
But, like, you love those guys. All those guys are cool dudes and awesome off-field.
Funny, I don't think I always loved playing with him.
Like, really?
I feel like we clashed at times on the field and, we'd like have a go at each other. And
But I feel like that shows that you have a good relationship. Usually anyways.
I love Dax to death. And
Dax is like screaming at you and you're like, hey, stop that. Stop that, Dax.
All right. Number three, Sal.
Let's see it. All right. I got two to choose from. Depending on which one. Let's get you to. I don't know. Okay. Name your most hated player that you've ever played against or played with.
He doesn't hate anybody, Sal.
No, the first person that comes to mind, and he's a good friend of mine, is Chad Marshall. I think he was like, I just thought Chad was amazing. I mean, I was just like,
You can't say you hated him and then say he was amazing after that.
Yeah, but he's saying he hated to play against him.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think one guy. Who's the guy who used to, Molly said, who's the guy who used to pinch me? Bobby Boswell.
So Bobby Boswell used to pinch Kenny to death. So
Bobby, incredible.
He's another one. We got to have him on soon.
I think Chad was like toughest opponent, and man, I love being on this team in Seattle, so I didn't have to worry about playing against him.
Chad's just super smart, dude. Guy read game well.
Yeah, I thought he had
He wins all the headers. He's not really the quickest of feet or nimble, but he's a smart dude, and he's played in this league so long that, or played since he's obviously retired, but played in this league so long that he just knew, you know, what to do. He read the game. He knew that the forwards on other teams, what they were good at. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, if you
just a good pro.
Ask me to put a team together, like just create my MLS. All I think he would be my first person I'd put on that list.
It wouldn't be me or Sal.
Three.
All right, Benny, go ahead.
All right,
let's see if you can
question number
here.
Four.
Let's
look, this one's getting a little tough. We might have to get you to plead. I don't want you to ask me any tough questions. So, MLS, you played on 5 teams. I would like you to rank the coaches on those teams from best to worst.
Ooh.
So to remind you, you're at FC Dallas from 06 to 09 and in 2013. I'm assuming we can say Shellis was the coach during either all that time or the majority.
No, I've three coaches with FC Dallas.
Did you? All right, pick one from Dallas then. Who was the guy that was there the longest while you were there?
I mean, I played for Shellis twice. So
let's say Shellis. Portland,
John Spencer.
Was that first year?
Ziggy Schmidt, and who was the coach in New York? Was it
Hans Bacca?
Yeah,
Hans Bacca. And then Montreal, you played for one game, but we'll throw that in there. Who was it, Jesse?
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of gives me
you can answer it however you choose. So you can make the reasonings why. But in Montreal, it was Jesse, right?
No.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh, was it the French guy or? What was it? French? Italian?
That assistant, the guy that was the assistant that became the head coach? Was it that one?
You don't remember who your coach was in Montreal in 2015? Is that what you're telling me, Kenny?
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
You know, it's so funny. I'm trying to think if the coach has changed in Montreal. I got injured like my third game, and I ended up in Dallas for like 4 months.
Was it Frank Lopez?
So Frank was the first coach, and his assistant became
Mauro Biello.
He became the
all right. No one remembers Mauro Biello. Let's just say Frank Klopas, even if he was there for a day and whatever. But yeah, we all know who Frank Klopas is. So you got Frank Klopas, you got Hans Bacca, you got Ziggy Schmidt,
John Spencer and Shellis.
John Spencer and Frankum. Best to absolute worst.
I'll rank them based off of, like, I feel like my success in playing time. So I'll rank Hans first. I loved playing for Hans Bacca. I think, you know, like my most successful season under him. And he was awesome, man. We had like, this was one of my favorite things. My season with Red Bull, we had like two different like week-long breaks during the season. I remember one of them calling Chris Taylor back in Portland and being like, dude, Molly and I are in Rhode Island having a vacation. And he's like, we're doing 2-a-days. It was just so funny. We had like an older team. And I think like there is this like emphasis on like almost like preserving, you know, energy and that kind of thing. So I drank Hans. And then I do Shellis. Shellis and I mean, Shellis is, you know, we go back a long time. He recruited me to go play at SMU. So, you know, I'll always feel a lot of gratitude for him, even though my second stint playing for him professionally was challenging. I wasn't playing, and this wasn't a good year, but I'll give him the second one. Ziggy, in a similar way, I mean, I didn't play a ton, but I love Ziggy. When I left Seattle, when I had my meeting, I was like, damn it, I love everything about this place, the city, the club, just everything, but like I'm not playing. Like, so I remember basically expressing I'm open-minded to leaving. I would say Ziggy third. Fourth would be John Spencer. Again, even though I love him, but I had a difficult season playing there. And then
he's got to be the number one for funniest coaches, though, right?
Dude, unbelievable,
hands down. Yeah,
when he busted through the locker room with Mike Chabala's clothes on,
oh, that was a good one, too.
It was unbelievable. He was great, man. I remember just I wanted to do so well for him,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, he loved his players, man. He really did.
I would always like run to him if I, like when I scored the couple times I scored, I would just like run to him. I was you know, eager to score for him.
He scored eight goals. He scored eight goals. Wasn't god awful.
Eight goals is more than I scored any season other than one, dude. So,
well, yeah. And then Frank, I played like a game for Frank. I'm not even sure I played a game for Frank. So I'll say Frank last. I had an easy way to.
All right. Looks Frank like he's Klopas probably not going
to
plead.
Frank Klopas is an avid listener to the podcast, by the way, just FYI.
So hopefully if you get an angry tweet from him, just no. All right. Last one. And this right, should
please,
be pretty
please
simple.
Please get him to plead, dude.
I don't know, dude. On. The only one we have lined up because we're lazy. We picked five. And the last one we have is.
This isn't our, dude. This is Ike's, so we're not the best
at it. Yeah, dude. We obviously suck at this. So what player do you most resemble on the field if you can compare yourself to anyone? Like in today's
current
game.
I want to preface it with something.
All right, go ahead.
So any outsider will view Kenny as a prototypical number nine, back to goal, big guy, likes to head the ball, strong, should be able to hold it up. But we all know as players that have played with him and know him, he thinks he's Twinkle Toes and he's got technical feet and he wants to dribble and he thinks he's like Messi, 5 foot five, where he can dribble all over the field. So now the question is, who would you say is a guy that plays similar to how you envisioned yourself? Whether it be before, like before your time, or that plays in the league now, or plays anywhere now. I mean, who's someone that you would compare yourself to?
Oh gosh. I'll say like the style I always aspired to be like was Wayne Rooney. Like I just, I saw him and he's a younger player than me, but I saw him when he first got to United. And I remember, Rio Ferdinand saying something like, man, wait, you see this guy. Like he was out of this world good. And the intensity he played with was incredible. And I think he made perhaps the biggest impression on me as a player. And just that intensity, but just ability to strike a volley from 30 yards out is style I always aspired like. Certainly not comparing myself to him. But who did I play like? I don't know. Shoot. I'll chime in here. My wife just came to the door. I remember, this is funny. I remember.
You look like Sebastian Latou.
Yeah, she said that. She said Sebastian Latou. My twin.
They looked alike, yeah.
Oh, Lord. I got a good story about that, too. I remember Bobby Ryan, God bless him. I remember one time we were like on a road trip and he was watching Mario Gomez from Germany, tall striker playing.
Okay. Yeah.
And I remember like Mario was like in the game. Like I think we were probably all watching this game. And he Bobby was like, Cooper! Like anytime Mario had this, he's like, Cooper! So I don't know, maybe that was.
I could actually see that. Mario Gomez was probably, I think he was a leading goal scorer in the league. When Stuttgart won it, that was the year that I played in Germany in 2006. And I could see the comparison. He's obviously a big boy. And yes, he could score some headers. But I think if you ask him, he was Twinkle Toes as well. So I could see that comparison working out.
That's awesome. I love it. No, I grew up on the indoor game. And, when I grew up playing, and even like throughout my club years, like, heading was like never my forte. Like it's just, I never had any interest in like getting up, challenging for headers. But when I got to United, I think I like quickly realized, that was one of the like requirements I think that they were looking for from me. And I was like, I remember, I have a funny memory of Jared Pique. I'm going to name drop here. Jared Pique was in this reserve squad with me once. I think we were like going to Leeds to play. And I remember like, dude, how do I win these headers? I don't know how to win these headers. Like I was never comfortable. I was never like a reckless player. I just wanted to like pull out wide, get the ball and just try to go at someone. And it was the thing because I thought a lot of people would maybe look at me and think, man, just go post up, just get in the box.
Right.
But I think I was always like more comfortable playing with someone who would actually go do that. I'm sure it frustrated a lot of coaches and fans at times. Teammates.
Well done, Kenny. You have completed Ike's interrogation room. You actually answered all the questions. We didn't want to give you too many tough ones. because we kind of got you ours. But with that, rules are rules. You get to ask us any question that you choose that we must answer honestly.
I love it. Okay. Well, it's funny because I was anticipating this question. And one of the funny thoughts I had was that you were both on teams that I was, when I was trying to make my comeback, those week trials, you were both on teams. So I want to know why you didn't go through me to the coaches and why I'm now down here in Prosper, Texas, not playing pro ball anymore.
I'm trying to remember what year was it that you came to Kansas City and where were we for preseason? I'm trying to remember that.
Yeah, no, I'm messing around.
I'll tell you why, Kenny, why we didn't sign you. Because you didn't win that shooting drill we would do at the end of the training once when they drive the ball and you got to take a first touch in the D and then finish.
That's
didn't,
true.
You didn't win it once, Kenny. I think had you won it once, you would have set the tone.
That's funny. That was the best drill. Was that like you had to take the touch in the D?
Yeah, take that. A driven ball, first touch in the D, finish.
I'm not good at that one, dude.
Really?
For some reason.
We did that day before every game at Red Bull.
I feel like I have a good touch, but I like always like get in my heads and can't trap a ball inside the D for some reason.
There's one drill that I like had to choose to run just for the rest of my life, I think it would be that. It's just my favorite.
I know. I'm kind of with you on that.
I love it.
Kenny, when did you come trial with us? I remember, but I don't remember.
Yeah, man, it was funny. So I came out with you guys in, it must have been 2016.
I think it was right after we let you go in preseason, you went to them or vice versa.
Arizona?
Yeah, you're in Arizona. And I remember thinking like, you know, because I knew you, Benny, and you guys had like a group of better, like just like guys that I knew. And I was like, when I first got out there, I think I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, I think this would be a great group. But by like Wednesday, I think I was like, I was calling Molly like, this just isn't going to happen. I could just like, you could just, I think, sense, right?
Well, I could tell you this. There's no way I would have had any influence on Peter making a decision. that I could tell you. Peter, there's not many people that are more his own man than Peter. Peter's going to make the decision based on his thoughts. So I don't think I could have helped you much, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out.
I would have expected that you guys were banging the doors down for me. What happened? Hey, where did he go? So funny. Well, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. It's good.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, dude. Really appreciate it. I'm glad that you were our first guest back from our little hiatus. And make sure we know that we're going to have at least one big fan listening to the podcast, and I'm sure – you know, we got to gather our fans back up. So they're start slowly coming back as we, you know, get in weekly podcasts now. But we appreciate you coming on.
You guys are doing an awesome job. And I always self-proclaim myself as a huge soccer nerd. And so I'm always like, you know, soccer Bible. I'm always kind of just like, you know, I like to think I have a good pulse on the game, just constantly, you know, in touch with it. And the show's one of my favorite things. I think you guys are doing a great job. I had a good friend of mine reach out today, and he's like, oh, it's my favorite podcast. So you guys are doing a good job. Keep it up.
Number one soccer. We can vouch for you, bro.
Get Alan Gordon back on the show.
Yeah. We got to get him back.
The only difference, though, we get Alan Gordon, we got to put like, on the where you download the podcast, you got to put, what is
explicit.
The rating that you got to put?
Explicit.
Yeah, explicit.
Explicit, yeah. Hey, this is funny. When
we can put PG for this one because.
Yeah, go ahead. I remember Alan, I never like really got to know him, but like ran into him in Arizona, one of those preseason trips. And he was so funny. I remember thinking, man, this guy's hilarious. I would have loved to have been a teammate with him and Steven Lenart. I remember Alan was like, man, how many teams have you played with? He's like, shit. He's like, you're going to be my icebreaker. Anytime I go to a team, I'm going to be like, hey, you know Kenny? Yeah, I know Kenny. I thought it was so funny, but no, he did a good job on his show.
That's good.
It was good. All right, man. You guys.
Yeah, we'll take any
nice
more of your time.
Nice catching up, Kenny.
Yeah. Go be a girl dad and enjoy it, man. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Tell Molly I say hello as well. All right. Take care,
Kenny.
Later.
Thanks a lot, Kenny Cooper. That was a lot of fun. Dude's got stories. He's been a lot of places, played different clubs, different people, different coaches. It's fun talking to him.
Yeah, he had some good stories about his time with Man U and you know how he looked up to the players. But like, you know, I talked about a little bit in the podcast. I think you guys can all get a sense of how much this man really loves soccer. I mean, I don't think you'll see Benny posting videos of him just kicking the ball against the wall on his Instagram anytime soon. So
this man loves, I mean, and I love soccer. And so for him to be doing that,
worth a follow. Let's go
follow his Instagram and see all the soccer drills he's doing every day.
Yeah. So Kenny's great. Thanks for coming on, Kenny. Next week, we're going to have Colin Martin. So look out for that. Should be a fun one.
Yeah. Exciting. All right, man.
All right.
Everybody, thanks for showing up today, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.